coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your questions live in just a few moments. The number to dial, as always, and as Randy just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, and that translates to 888-275-4265. Again, we will be going to your calls in just a moment, but I do want to mention, as we open the broadcast today, Rick Dunham's book, Secure, which is available all this month for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. I wrote not only the foreword to this book, but also I wrote an endorsement that says, Secure captures the ultimate irony of life and living. Security is not found in getting, but in giving. To read Secure, in other words, to read this book, is to take the first step towards turning this truth into an experiential reality. There's an endorsement by Rich Stearns as well. Rich is the president of World Vision US, and he says this may be the most important book you read this year. In fact, I plan to read it once a year. I must confess that I've read the book several times myself. I think it gets to the heart of a very significant issue. That issue is, where is our security? Is our security in our money, or is our security in the Master? Secure is discovering true financial freedom. Again, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your gift, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I've said this before, but I am persuaded that the Bible teaches a form of Christian capitalism. In other words, responsibility associated with wealth. It does not promote the possession of money for the sake of money, but instead it encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. In other words, a biblical view of wealth involves having an eternal perspective, which is to say, eyes that can look beyond time and space, eyes that can envision a new heaven and a new earth. And that is going to be a reality for each one of us, a reality that is one heartbeat away. And therefore, it's crucial to realize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it, as the psalmist put it. The Lord is the landlord. We're tenants. We didn't arrive with anything, and we most certainly are not going to take anything with us when we leave. And just remembering that fact of life will save us from a world of hurt. Furthermore, poverty should never be taken to be equal to piety, and nor do riches equal righteousness. God prospers some, and then he puts others in a far more humble circumstance. In fact, if there was a one-to-one ratio between godliness and wealth, the godliest people in the world would be the wealthiest people in the world, but a quick check of the Forbes 500 would, well, very quickly dash that illusion. One final point, and then to our callers, it's important for all of us to view wealth with eternity in mind. In other words, lead your life here below as a responsible steward, whether you have a little or a lot, because one day at the judgment, God himself will richly reward you. It is your bank statement in heaven that ultimately counts, and if you fix your hope on the one you have down here below, well, you're bankrupt no matter how many digits you can count next to your name. I love what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then said Jesus, you cannot serve both God and money. Once again, Secure, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today is Anthony. He's listening in Chester, Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. My question today is, it seems to me that most of the Christians I talk to seem to be divided on prosperity and wealth. It seems like there's two extremes. One extreme says, name it, claim it, speak to things that are not as if they were. You know, God wants us to be blessed. And then the other extreme is, seems kind of anti-blessing, you know, like we should each be happy with our own place in life and live out our life where God places us. And I found out in my own personal experience, because I've had it both ways from one extreme to the other, that when you place God number one in your life and in your heart, and you're totally walking in trust and faith, everything else will be added to you. So I'm just not too sure on why some Christians have such a polarizing opinion in one extreme or the other.
Yeah, and a good point. And this is precisely why I'm recommending all this month the book Secure, because I think we do go to one extreme or the other all too often. So we think that poverty equates to piety, and the inverse of that as well, as you correctly point out, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The reality is, it's not what you have, it's where your heart is. It is true, however, that when you have a lot, it is far more easy or comfortable to trust in the arm of flesh than to trust in the arm of God. It's the same thing when you're physically well. When you're physically well, you think that you're in control. But the moment you become sick, you realize just how frail, how temporary, how transient you really are. But I think the point you made is absolutely spot on. I think that we end up going from one extreme to the other. And you note correctly the Word of Faith movement. What they're saying is faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And therefore, by speaking certain words, you can create your own prosperity. Of course, nothing, again, could be farther from the truth. This is New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. But a point that I have made of late in terms of frugal living while harnessing the wealth of the world is that we should never suggest that we are to leave the wealth of the world in the hands of the wicked. If you would think this way, it's not frugality, it's foolishness. Wealth does not disappear simply because believers abandon it or take some vow of poverty. We're not called to abandon wealth, but to assume the responsibility of directing wealth towards the purposes of the kingdom. That's the point.
All right. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate your call, and you summed it all up. I didn't really have to say anything. You summed it up well.
All right. Well, I thank you. I'm going to listen to you back on the radio now.
Thank you, man. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike. He's listening in Wichita, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi. How you doing today, Hank?
Doing well.
Good. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. I wanted to first... Before I ask my question, just say that when I became a Christian, a little personal testimony that I was at that point in my life that I had given it up and cried out to Jesus and asked for his help. And your radio broadcast was the first thing that I heard next time I listened to the radio. So I really do appreciate what you stand for, the truth, and just wanted to give you that testimony. I will tell you, my question is really around I hear you talk about essential Christian doctrine, and I understand that the virgin birth, the resurrection. What else is there as far as essential doctrine, things that we as Christians really can't disagree on, I guess, is my question?
Sure. Yeah, Mike, by the way, I don't take what you said lightly in the prologue to the question about your own conversion and the place that the Bible Answers Man broadcast played in that. I mean, it's incredibly significant, not only for me to hear, but for others to hear as well, because ministries like this do touch lives. And then what's wonderful in your question is that you want to understand what it is that you have given your life to. And ultimately, you have recognized that you're a sinner, repented of your sin, and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, which means that you're trusting Him for abundant life in the present and the promise of an eternity with the Master in a restored universe in the future, when Jesus appears a second time. In the meantime, we recognize that that very gospel rests on the question you ask, which is essential Christian doctrine. This is the foundation of the gospel, but more than that, it is the North Star by which the Christian church has set its sail. In fact, we can go so far as to say it is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And because it is that important, I put together a little flip chart, which is called Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine. And I actually use the word doctrine to codify the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which start with the D or the deed of Jesus Christ. I've often said that virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And that's why it is so critically important that we are absolutely grounded in the notion that Jesus Christ is the fullness of deity in bodily form. That God is not only transcendent, but that He has invaded, if you will, time and space so that we could know Him and have an intimate personal relationship with Him, not only in time, but also for all eternity. So the deity of Jesus Christ is a transcendently important issue. It is the essential of essentials. I call it the mother of all questions. Jesus asked it, "Who do you say that I am?" And of course, the answer is that He is God in human flesh. Well, how do we know that? Well, I give the evidence for that in this little flip chart. The O stands for original sin. We are born and conceived in sin, which is to say that all of us have a sin nature and none of us, not one, is righteous before God. The doctrine of original sin is a critically important essential of the historic Christian faith. By the way, if we didn't recognize our sin, we wouldn't recognize our need for a Savior. Then the canon of Scripture itself, which is the C. Canon stands for measure or rod. This is important because the ultimate question becomes, what is your authority? The Mormons say, well, my authority is the Book of Mormon. We say, no, it's the Bible. Who knows who's right? Well, you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Conversely, you can also demonstrate that the Book of Mormon is a singularly human document, rife with all kinds of error. The T stands for Trinity. Again, this gets to the nature of God as He has revealed Himself to us in the Word of God. You mentioned the resurrection as well, Mike, and that's an essential. It's an essential in that Christ is the first fruit of those who have been risen from the dead. And that means that one day there's going to come a time where Jesus, who is the earnest of our resurrection, authenticates the resurrection of every single human being when He appears a second time. And that's why I said, do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. The incarnation, Christ coming in flesh, taking on a human nature, an essential of the historic Christian faith. The new creation, that we are new creations in Christ. That's what you are, Mike, a new creation in Christ, an essential of the historic Christian faith. And then eschatology. A lot of people would wonder, why is that an essential of the historic Christian faith? What's an essential in that? We can say that Jesus will appear a second time, and when he does, he'll put all things to right. Now, there are a lot of secondary issues that that are involved with eschatology or the study of end times, but those are issues that we can debate, like the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation. It's secondary. But that Jesus will appear a second time is an essential to historic Christian faith. So again, essential Christian doctrine is a little flip chart that codifies this information. If you hang on, Mike, I'll send it to you as my gift, my thank you for your testimony. It means the world to me. Hang on, I'll get it out to you.
God bless you.
God bless you, my friend. We are going to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial, and do remember, essential Christian doctrine and the other resources I talk about on the show, you can find them at equip.org.
In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. But in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, noted Christian counselor Ellen Dykus helps women find sexual sanity through the wise, unashamed, bold teaching of the Bible. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We often look for security in places where it can't be found, in money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham, to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And in concert with what you were just saying, I want to mention to everyone listening in at this very moment, if you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having, please prayerfully consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. I have been so gratified that, as I have mentioned that over the last few broadcasts, so many people have responded and become monthly Bible Answer Man support team members. Now, we need many more of you to do that, but when you do, it gives us such a wonderful foundation for ministry around the world. For your gift of $25 or more, you'll receive a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Again, we are so gratified by the people who are responding to the words that I just now uttered. By the way, if you're already a member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team and you can make an extra gift this month, it would be very significant in that we are still seeking to close up, if you will, a funding gap. Also want to mention that I'm going to be speaking in several places, including I'll be down in Florida at the Cross Church Apologetics Conference in Palm City with a church and a ministry that I'm really excited about. And so if you can join us for that, you're anywhere down there, I think you'll be blessed, to say the least. We'll be talking about that more as the time comes near. Again, you can call the church 772-600-4968 or just go on the World Wide Web at equip.org and find further details. Also, I'm going to be speaking at the Summer Vision Banquet for Utah Partnerships for Christ and AM 820, and that will be a banquet Saturday, July 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Castle in Utah. And if you want more details or to order tickets, please go to our website at equip.org, or you can go to their website, www.upfc.org. Also, I'll be speaking the following day, Sunday, July 28th, at South Mountain Community Church in Utah. Again, you can check the website out for further details. The website is equip.org. We'll go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Tyler next. He's listening in Bell City, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Boy, let me tell you, God has been good today. It is a beautiful day out here in Missouri, ready for the 4th of July tomorrow.
Well, we're getting rain. I hope the rain stops tomorrow.
My question for you, I go to a First Southern Baptist Church, and I'm not real sure how it all works. I don't know if you're supposed to send, you know, money to the bigger Southern Baptist people to stay in that organization. But anyways, I guess we kind of got kicked out. And so we're just a bunch of Christians that like to go to church. Mm. And that started bringing up questions for me, like I haven't made it that far into the Bible. I don't know if my answers will be, answered if I just keep reading. But exactly how did denominations start? How do you determine, if you're Catholic or a Methodist, or how did that all get split up? How did it start, basically?
Well, if you go to the historical record, you find that there's a big church split that takes place in 1054 between the Eastern and the Western Church. But if you look farther down the line at the Reformation, you'll find that that's where denominationalism really started in earnest. And denominationalism in general is a function of being divided on secondary issues like ecclesiology, which means church order, or baptism, or eschatology, which is the study of end times. So there are many secondary issues that Christians divide on, and therefore there are many denominations as a result of that, not only within the Protestant movement, but also within Catholicism. There are many different kinds of Catholics. There are those who follow Aquinas, and there are those who are Thomists. So there are, if you will, there are many different kinds of denominations, not only within the Reformation churches, but also within Roman Catholicism. I just mentioned something that was a distinction without a difference when I said Thomas and followers of Aquinas. But the point still remains. There are many different kinds of Roman Catholics as well. But again, this is a function of churches dividing over secondary issues for the most part. I also think of Mark chapter 9 when you say, if I keep reading, I'll probably get to it. In Mark chapter 9, John sees a man driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, and the disciples tell him to stop because he is not one of Christ's inner circle of 12. But Jesus says, don't stop him because whoever is not against us is for us. The translation roughly would be, just because he is not part of the inner circle does not mean he is not part of Christ. And therefore, even if we are separated by secondary issues, the ultimate question is, do we stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, the essentials that I was talking about in the last segment of the broadcast?
Yes, and it's not... Not like I think, you know, one denomination is bad, or, you know, I'm as long as they're saved and love Jesus like I do, I could care less what church you go to. But it just kind of made me curious. I wasn't real sure, but
well, it's a good question too, Tyler, because I think sometimes the world looks on and sees unnecessary divisions within the body of Christ, and it is cause for them to call into repute the Christian church. And ultimately, what we should do is be unified in worship, oneness, and witness, worship through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. Oneness, so that we're not like marbles clanging against one another in an empty cathedral, but those literally knit together in the bonds of love. If you want to see a biblical picture of that, go to Romans chapter 12. And then we should also be those who are equipped to communicate what we believe, why we believe, and in whom we have believed. So a healthy, well-balanced church is one that worships God in spirit and in truth, one in which oneness is demonstrated as we are living stones in the temple of God, and one that equips believers to go out and impact the world.
Well, that's, I couldn't agree with you more, Hank. That is, and like I said, I was just kind of curious. I really had no idea, but I really appreciate everything you do, Hank. I listen every day, and I just think it's amazing how much knowledge you have about the Bible. And one day, I hope to even remember half of what I read in there, but I just have to go back and read it. But I appreciate it, Hank, and God bless you, brother.
Hey, God bless you as well, Tyler. Thank you so much for those kind comments and for calling today. Matisha next in Gastonia, North Carolina. Hi, Matisha.
Hi. I have a question in regarding my best friend. She's currently dating an atheist. Well, he used to believe, like, he knows the Bible like the back of his hand, and he just stopped believing, and they constantly get into debates about religion, and then she gets upset, and then she stops talking to him, and then she's back talking to him again, and she always comes to me for advice, and I just wanted to give her some good Christian advice, and I want to know what do you suggest I tell her?
Well, I don't think missionary dating is a very smart thing, which is to say that you get emotionally involved. That's why they have the fights, but they're still attracted to one another, so they come back together. And she's hoping she can convince him so that perhaps the relationship can go beyond dating, I'm sure. But the reality is missionary dating is a very, very bad idea. Just as we should not be unequally yoked in marriage, we probably shouldn't be unequally yoked in dating. So I think it's important for her to recognize this as an opportunity to become an equipped believer, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Atheism, by the way, is just logically self-refuting. An atheist says there's no God. Well, for you to say that there's no God, you'd have to know everything there was to know about everything in the universe. And if you knew everything there was to know about everything in the universe, you'd be God. But even beyond that, an atheist is a self-refuting person in that every single person has the light of creation, which is to say, anyone who looks at the universe in which they have been placed with 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion or more stars, immediately recognizes that this did not just happen. It's not a function of chance. It's not serendipitous. If you look at a basketball, you know that there's a basketball maker. How much more so when you see the complexities of the universe in which we live? But even beyond that, an atheist has the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of their consciousness, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 2, and therefore they are without excuse. So there is, in the final analysis, no such thing as a true atheist. There are people who contend that there is no God, but no one can say there is no God, because everyone who is rational and sentient recognizes the Creator from without and has a knowledge of the Creator as well from within.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Yes. Okay, thank you so much. I will pass along this advice. And I'm a first-time caller, but I've been listening for the past year, and I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you, Matisha. Thank you so much for calling. And as we go to break, I want to mention the Christian Research Journal. I've been so excited about the journal, particularly in the last few years. It's always been an award-winning magazine, which is not only beautiful in terms of its presentation, award-winning, in fact, in terms of its presentation, but also it has been riveting in terms of its content. The kinds of things we deal with are not obscure, but they're cutting-edge issues. We need to know how to deal, for example, with the whole same-sex marriage debate. And many people just don't know how to do that. They can thump their Bible, but they can't give a reason. And if you can't get a reason, then people think that there is no reason and that all you can do is thump. You can't think. And so I think it's so critical that we ran an article in the Christian Research Journal on that very topic. But there are literally hundreds of cutting-edge issues that we deal with in the journal. So if you're subscribing, you're doing a wise thing. If you're not yet, consider doing it. A special summer offer code right now, SUMMER, can be used to get the first edition free. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers.
Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast, books, and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Over the past century, the Western world has become increasingly secular and post-Christian. This is often attributed to increasing education and prosperity. But the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal will provide you with an abundance of data that suggests the opposite and points to a very different, more surprising explanation. To learn more, start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Kay. She's listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just had a question. I was surprised by a conversation with a good Christian friend who we were talking about how much she enjoys watching the Long Island Medium. And I tried to respond, but I was just hoping you could give me some more insight on how to address that lovingly.
Yeah, well, it is a surprise because this lady is someone either knowingly or perhaps unwittingly believing that she can channel the dead. She claims that only those souls who are walking through God's white light are allowed to channel through her. And she says If they're going to be negative, she won't channel them. She also claims that she can see the dead. This, again, is not only a delusion, but it is delusionary. There is no warrant whatsoever to suggest that those in the land of the dead, so to speak, can re-inhabit the land of the living. And I actually wrote about this in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. And one of the points that I make about ghosts is that they exist only in mythology, but that demons are more than happy to feed upon our unbiblical delusions. And, you know, when I say unbiblical delusions, I mean, just think about this, not only biblically, but practically. What's the possibility that she can see the dead as she claims she can see the dead? There's absolutely zero possibility. Reason being is the dead do not have physicality. The physical part of those who have died is in the ground. It's buried. The soul is non-physical. The soul does not have extension in space. It has awareness, but not awareness. Moreover, the Bible's very clear that that awareness is not in the land of the living. But again, though this is delusionary or a delusion, either way, Satan loves to play upon the field of our superstition, so it is a very dangerous delusion. It's not as though this is no harm, no foul. And I am surprised that this is something that you find on what used to be called the Learning Channel. It's a reality TV show that is simply delusionary. It's playing upon the emotions of people. It's not as though there's no harm, no foul. This is a very dangerous delusion. So again, not only delusionary, but an extraordinarily dangerous delusion.
That is very helpful. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cody next in Frankston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cody.
Hi, Hank. Before I ask my question, I'd just like to tell you, you and your ministry have really helped me to grow in Christ, and I really appreciate that, and I'd encourage everyone you've talked about giving to the ministry to, if they could, to absolutely do that.
Thank you so much, Cody.
Yes, sir. I had a couple of questions. One is about 1 John 5:18.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we know that no one who is born of God sins. That's just part of the verse, and I mean, I know that, obviously, yeah, I sin all the time, and you know, so on and so forth, but I was kind of just wanting to get your take on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to read the immediate context and then the broader context. So if you go to John's epistle and you go to the immediate context, John says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray that God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. Then he says, there is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Now, the reason that I read the context is because John, in context, is acknowledging that we continue to sin. But the distinction here in context is that we do not continue to sin capriciously or willfully. And the reason we know that is if you read the whole letter, you start at the very beginning of this epistle, and John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in us. So John is acknowledging that we sin, but as those who sin, we should not continue to live in unconfessed sins. Rather, we should confess our sins, recognizing that He's righteous and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you read John's epistle in total, you recognize the truth that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Those who have received Jesus Christ are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and though they are no longer saved in the sense of what they think they can do, but now they are saved in the reality that Christ did all for them in their place. And so now they're being sanctified. So they don't sin willfully. They're daily being conformed to the image of God. When they sin, it's not a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection of God, in other words. And they also recognize, and this is recognized by John, that one day we're going to be glorified. We're going to be just as though we had never sinned. But that happens after we die.
Right. Well, I really appreciate that. If you could I ask you one more small
thing?
Sure,
yeah.
I've got a couple of people in my family, loved ones and so forth, that they're very involved in one that's Pentecostalism, and I've talked to them about this, but it seems, you know, when we do, they really don't want to hear it. I mean, they kind of get very upset. I was just kind of wondering, what is the best way to witness to someone like that?
Well, I think you should know the facts, and then if God gives you an opportunity to communicate the facts, then you communicate them. But you should just be equipped. I mean, I've often said that the real issue is not evangelism, it is equipping for evangelism, which is to say, being prepared, always ready to give an answer. And I think in this case, since you have people within your sphere of influence that are into the Oneness Pentecostal cult, you should be prepared to be able to take their arguments and use them as springboards for communicating truth. To that end, I've written about Oneness Pentecostalism in a number of different places, but the most concise presentation is in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition.
Okay. Well, Hank, I really appreciate that, and God bless you, and I hope as many people as can give to your ministry.
Well, I appreciate that. God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan. He's listening in Auburn, Washington, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Hank. I just want to say thank you for your ministry. Your wisdom helped get me out of a Word Faith church about 20 years ago, and so I'm eternally thankful for that.
God bless you.
My question to you is, why do Jews not practice sacrifice any longer?
Well, there's a very practical reason for that, Dan, and the practical reason is the destruction of the temple in AD 70. So when the temple was destroyed, there wasn't a means anymore for sacrifice. And so what's happened is Jews who recognize that Jesus is the sacrificial lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and that he is the antitype that fulfills all the types and shadows of the Old Testament, they see no longer a need for sacrifice. And those who are not believers in Messiah, they reinterpret the Mosaic law, and that becomes their devotion. So Torah study ends up replacing temple sacrifice.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Susan, Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WHVN. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a little bit of a confusing question. I would like if you could elaborate a little bit more. I've heard you say before that if an unbeliever were to die and, you know, go to heaven instead of going to hell, that it would be a horrible thing for them because, you know, it would be against their will. And I just think that, you know, if they were, even though I know that the universe declares the glory of God, and you talked a little bit about that with one of the previous callers, you know, that it's written on our hearts, but I just think in my mind that if somebody were to die and see Jesus face to face in all of his glory, I can't imagine that that wouldn't just awaken something different than, you know, what's presented to us here, you know, just walking, you know, even though the earth is glorious and his whole creation is, to me, I just can't understand how you say that, you know, that they would still, you know, not want to be there.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things that we have to recognize. First and foremost, we have to set the premise that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So not all hell is the same. The hell of a garden variety pagan and the hell of a Hitler, they're vastly different propositions. I talk about that in my book, Afterlife. But the impenitent do not want a relationship with God in time, and therefore God does not force himself on them in eternity. He continues to sustain them in existence because they're the crowning jewels of his creation. But they're sustained in existence apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace. What we know, and the reason I say that if, in fact, the impenitent were taken to heaven against their will, heaven wouldn't be heaven, and they wouldn't have any choice. And so what I'm saying is that the righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell, because they don't want God. That's the point. If they do want God, remember what the Bible says. Very, very clearly, the Bible tells us from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. And Christ added to this, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So the issue is not that they don't have enough light in the present, they're going to have more light in the past. The real issue is they don't want a relationship with God. That's the point. Going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. You can start calling right now if you're hanging on. I'll take your call if you're dialing in the number in the U.S. or Canada. You can dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can just keep calling that number. I'll be answering your calls for the next hour.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many,
The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.